the Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. By the way, we do have at least one, maybe two, Jared Stillman sports lectures coming up today on the program. I haven't decided if I want to do one today, one tomorrow. They're both very timely, but we do have some sports lectures coming up. But I want to get to this. Because I know, I'm the bad guy. Every time I say something that you don't like about Cam Ward or about the Titans, it's always, Jared, you hate the Titans. Even though I believe it is well documented that I do not hate the Titans. That said, I was listening to NFL radio on Sirius XM. Pat Kerwin, Jim Miller. And you guys know, Pat Kerwin knows ball. This is an old school guy who was a coach, who was an executive, and who's been in the media for about 20 years. And they do a breakdown during the year of each position group with each team. So they'll take a day, and they'll do the AFC North linebackers. And they'll go over every linebacker on every team in the NFC North, and they'll assign a point system to them, and they'll kind of rank them out by position groups. And so on Friday, Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin were breaking down the Titans receiver room. And here's the way, again, this is Pat Kerwin that did this. He's got no bias. Here was Pat Kerwin's breakdown of the Tennessee Titans receivers and what it means.
Let's go for it. You got a young quarterback, so you want veteran receivers. I get it. I would do the same thing. But is this the best you could do? Calvin Ridley, 64-4. He was here before. 6 points. Why did I give him six? Well, look at Pittman, look at Pierce, look at Pierce himself, what he got, and why I think a six is appropriate. You know, Pittman had 69 and three touchdowns. Your guy had 64 and four. Same grade, six. Now what do you want to do? You want to call Lockett number two, or do you want to call Van Jefferson? I'll call Lockett number two, since he almost had double the receptions and the same touchdown. So you slide Lockett into the two spot. He's an older guy. He'll be very good for the quarterback for a year or two, and that'll be the end of it. I thought Tyler Lockett personally could have gone to a couple other places, but he went here. I gave him a 4 out of 6. He used to be a 6 out of 6 when he was in his heyday, and sometimes he was the 1. Van Jefferson slides to the 3 spot where he belongs with 24 catches and 2 touchdowns. By the way, he played 63% of the plays. He should have been able to do better than 24 receptions, but he's who he is. He gets a 3, and I could have made it a 2, but I get why he's there, and the quarterback's going to need him. Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson. Now you go to the backups. 2 rookies, that's 0. Burks, a total disaster, 0. Add it all up, is 12.
12 points. I believe that's our lowest score to date would be the Tennessee Titans. So
it's getting there.
I mean, they walk through the entire receiver room and say, boy, that's one of the lowest ones we've had. Now, I don't want to be the guy to have to piss in everybody's Cheerios. But when I keep hearing, we want to be optimistic, Jared, I keep thinking to myself, optimistic how? There was a period of time during this offseason where Titan fans kept saying, Cam Ward is the next Steve McNair, Jared, or he's Patrick Mahomes, Jared. And then I would suggest, okay, well, do they have a plan for sitting him on the bench? Are they going to draft him and sit him? Oh, no, Jared, you can't do that. Even though Mahomes and McNair sat as rookies. Then there's Cam Ward's coach. Last year, everybody was so optimistic that Brian Callahan was going to turn Will Levis into Joe Burrow and that Bill Callahan was going to fix the offensive line. And now we know, let's see if Callahan is a good coach or not. If you had to bet your family on Brian Callahan making it, I know most of you would not. The tight ends absolutely stink. Everybody knows that. And now Pat Kerwin, who once again, he's got no bias in this. He's got no dog in this fight. Pat Kerwin is saying, yeah, your wide receivers are the lowest to date. Again, the best part was the beginning of that. I know they wanted to get veteran receivers for the young quarterback, but couldn't you do any better? So with all of that, again, coach, tight ends, woof. Wide receivers, well, that's one of the lowest wide receiver rooms we've done so far. I have to ask, with the be positive, Jared, be positive how? Where is the positivity supposed to come from? Last week, again, I pointed out the absurdity of Cam Ward, who's never taken a snap in the NFL, saying that he's a 10 out of 10 in terms of his confidence. And I saw the YouTube chat during the morning show when that was pretty much all they were talking about. And the YouTube chat, of course, Jake Lyman. I mean, again, true blue, go Titan, Jake. He's like, I think in order to make the NFL, you got to be 10 out of 10 confident. Really? Will Levis just spent all day yesterday talking about how his mental headspace wasn't in the right place last year. But again, I saw the YouTube chat. It was all, Cam's a dog. He's different. Cam's a winner. More of a winner than Vince Young. More of a winner than Mariota. Both of those guys played the national title game. Vince Young won it and was MVP. Cam couldn't even win a spot in the ACC title game with by far the most expensive roster in that conference. So again, this be positive, Jared. Pat Kerwin just told you, your receiver room is awful. You know the tight ends are bad. What was hilarious was listening to Pat Kerwin go on and on as far as the Titan receivers are concerned. I probably should have cut this and played it. But he's sitting there saying, how do you let 9-touchdown Nick Westbrook-Ikhine leave for no money in Miami? And that, by the way, has probably not been something that we haven't talked enough about. But he's sitting there saying, like, Ridley, fine, I'll give him a 6 out of 6, just like Michael Pittman, which, again, I think is generous for both Ridley and Pittman, because I think Ridley and Pittman are clear number twos. I do not think that they are number ones. I do not think they are Justin Jefferson. I do not think they are CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase. I do not think they are A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. I do not think they're Tyreek Hill. I think they're high-end twos, maybe. Now, I'd rather have hit Ridley than Pittman, but, again, not a huge fan of either guy. And he's saying, okay, 6 for him and 4 for Van Jefferson. Well, no, what was it? 3 for Van Jefferson and 3 for Tyler Lockett. That's 12. Burks, 0. It's like, man. So if I am supposed to be positive, if I am supposed to hope that this team is going to be different, this year is going to be different, I have to ask the you people crowd this. How? Again, you keep telling me that Cam Ward is McNair, but you don't want to sit Cam Ward on the bench and develop McNair the way that McNair was developed. You don't want to sit Mahomes on the bench and develop Mahomes the way he was developed. So how are you going to do this? You don't have a bell cow at running back anymore. He's on the Ravens. Though I do like Pollard. Your tight ends are awful. Your receivers are awful. And your defense is led by a guy who doesn't think he needs to be there but thinks their team needs to all be on the same page. So what am I not being positive about? Like, what's going to happen? What do, again, the you people crowd out there, what do you people think that I am missing when it comes to the Tennessee Titans being good next year? Or are you just saying, like, be positive and say, 5-12, that would be an improvement on 3-14. Way to go! Because, again, every single neutral person is looking at this team and saying, ugh. I even said that I think the Titans, the hierarchy, ownership, front office, I think they know they suck. Coaching is probably like, well, let's pray we don't suck, but we know we probably will. But let's play some rock, paper, scissors while we're at it. Again, you people, I'm asking, you tell me, 615-737-125, you tell me what I'm missing on. You want me to be positive. What am I supposed to be positive about? 615-737-1025. There is one thing that the Titans could do, Amy Adams Shrunk could do, and it would make me more positive if she were to do this. And we'll hit on that coming up next. And it's another suggestion that our buddy Pat Kerwin has. So we'll hit that on the other side. Stelman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Is there, from a payroll standpoint, flexibility that if this team were to see somebody out there, you know, June 1st has come, so there's been a lot of guys that have been released. Does this team have the payroll flexibility to add on a big salary or a medium-sized salary?
I think we got good flexibility. I think our cap's healthy, which I think at the end of the day, you know, from a financial perspective, you always want to at least have the flexibility to do those types of things if they come up. We've done a really good job, I think, of managing that over the last, at least since I've been here for 2 years, of being able to be in position if something does come up that makes sense, of being able to do it. Again, doesn't mean we're going to. You know, I think Mike and those guys in the front office are pretty disciplined in their approach on how they're going to go about those types of players. But I think we have the flexibility to add players where needed from now until, you know, whenever that end point comes for us. The trade deadline, I think, is probably the last point. But, yeah, they're going to do their due diligence on anybody that comes available between now and the end of training camp for sure, again, with the waiver claim as well. But we have the flexibility to do what we would need to do.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan. I asked Callahan because Brinker and Borgonzi don't have to meet with the media. He does. And so I said, do you guys have the payroll flexibility to be able to go add some players? And he basically said yes. I love how Callahan said our cap is healthy. Brian, the cap is fake. I just want you to know that. Which, by the way, not going to reveal a lot of details, but I did have a minor conversation with Chad Brinker in which Chad knows I think the cap is fake. Like, again, I'm like, hey, man, don't bother me about the cap. Don't bother me. If you want to talk about it, no, you know not to talk to me about the cap. So Pat Kerwin, our buddy that says the wide receiver room for the Titans is terrible, has a suggestion as to what they need to do, which also happens to be a suggestion that I have had as far as the Titans are concerned. Here's what Pat Kerwin said on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
There's another team that if you were serious, I'd trade for Jonnu Smith right now. And an 88 reception, 8 touchdown tight end, that is what Cam Ward needs.
Ding, 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 ding. But instead, the Titans are going to run it back with Chig Okonkwo. You know, the Chig Okonkwo that took 18 trips and vacations this offseason. The Chig Okonkwo who can't catch the ball. The Chig Okonkwo that doesn't block. The Chig Okonkwo that's been the number one tight end of the Titans for the last 2 years and hasn't done a damn thing. By the way, Corey Curtis was on Robbie and Retro this morning, and he said that he asked Chig Okonkwo at minicamp, hey, have you been part of the 5 a.m. crew with Cam Ward? And he's like, what? Might want to get in the 5 a.m. crew, Chig. But I think we've been around Chig long enough to know Chig's not going to do that. Chig's going to go on vacation. I think we've also been around Jonnu Smith long enough to know Jonnu Smith's a better player than Chig. So Pat Kerwin says the Titans need to trade for Jonnu Smith, and I agree. The Titans, and again, this goes back to the question I asked Callahan, do you have the payroll flexibility? The Titans need $30 million from Amy Adams Shrunk. If she wants to give more, that'd be great. But all I'm asking for is $30 million. And with that $30 million, I'm going to make a trade to the Miami Dolphins. $20 million for Jalen Ramsey, $10 million for Jonnu Smith. Again, Miami wants to get rid of both of them. It kind of feels like Miami is tanking this upcoming season. Then again, it kind of feels at times like the Titans are tanking too. But with Miami, they want to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they're trying to mutually get rid of him. And with Jonnu, Jonnu's not showing up because Jonnu wants a new contract. And Miami, no matter what, they're not going to give it to him. So if Amy greenlit an extra $30 million in spending, and that's really all it would take to get Ramsey and Jonnu, is the $30 million in cash. Because, well, you you would end up doing is you would send the Dolphins a fourth and they'd send you a fifth. You know, it'd be something like that where you're swapping 23 spots on day three and you're picking up the best corner on your team and the best tight end on your team. So if Amy greenlit an extra $30 million in spending, that would take the Titans, according to SpotTrack, to $318 million, which would give them the ninth highest payroll in the NFL. And before you say something to me along the lines of, well, Jared, we don't need the ninth highest payroll right now because we're not ready to compete. Just know that the Giants are eighth at $319 million. So if Amy were to greenlight an extra $30 million, you'd solve your tight end problem with Jonnu Smith. You'd really help out your secondary by adding Jalen Ramsey. And that's for me, a guy who I'm admitting, Jalen Ramsey is not the same Jalen Ramsey that he used to be. But he's still better than anybody else you have. And I also wonder, again, based on the money, the cash, I wonder if Miami would take back L'Jarius Sneed in return. So we'll send you L'Jarius Sneed, and we'll send you a fourth. Actually, we'll send you a fifth, and you send us Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and a sixth. So we're swapping a fifth for a sixth, and I'm giving you Sneed. And if the commissioner suspends Sneed, then you can void all the guaranteed money and get rid of them. And now you've gotten out of the Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith business, the Miami Dolphins, who, again, I think are trying to tank and cut costs. What's wrong with that? Again, you can't tell me that you shouldn't spend the money. The Giants are spending the money. They have a young quarterback. And even though Jonnu Smith won't be a part of the team when they become competitive again, he will help Cam Ward as a rookie try to get real confidence, not that fake Cam Ward confidence. Oh, I'm always confident. No. Real confidence. Not, I think Brian Callahan's the best coach in the league and Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are the best running backs. That fake stuff. I'm talking about the real stuff. That being said, I don't think she'll do it. And I don't think they'll do it. So I think they are stuck with the same bad players that they have. And again, to me, the onus is more now on Cam Ward to go out there and be Superman. And I mean truly be Superman. Offensive line's going to take time to gel. As Pat Kerwin noted, the receivers aren't any good. The tight ends are worse. You don't have a bell cow running back. And if you try to treat Tony Pollard like a bell cow running back, he's going to get hurt. Tajay Spears is a third down back. He's not very good. The defense is led by a defensive coordinator who says some of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And you're going to try to hope Cam Ward goes out there and from day one aces the test. It's not very likely. 615-737-1025. So when Pat Kerwin says, hey, your wide receivers, they're not very good, apparently I'm the bad guy. But I kept saying, like, okay, so what is the response from the you people crowd? When you people tell me that I have to be positive, Jared, be positive. You need to be positive. Can't we be positive? And I'm looking for a response of, well, Jared, we should be positive about this. Or Jared, we should be positive about that. And instead, here's what I've got. LD from McMinnville says, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. LD from McMinnville says, you have no idea, neither do I, about the tight end from Texas, whether he'll be good or not. You don't know if that fourth round pick is going to be good or not. A fourth round pick. That's all we're banking on here. A fourth round pick. Greg in Clarksville, they stink. 3-win year. Somebody in the YouTube chat said, again, where is the distinguished gentleman? Give me the positive take, Mr. Distinguished Gentleman. YouTube chatter says, I've been trying to figure out why you love being the villain and talk in the third person. You want to be Mad Dog Russo so bad you can taste it. Well, I think Mad Dog Russo and I do very different radio. Now, I will say this. I have been watching the documentary on Alex Cooper, the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not a call your daddy person. Like, I'm not a member of the daddy gang. I am not a call her daddy. I don't listen to that podcast. I'm not the target audience, and I don't listen. But I do find, like, the Alex Cooper phenomenon and the story, I find it to be fascinating. And so I've watched the docu-series. It's a two-episode documentary on Alex Cooper. I watched it on Hulu. It's called Call Her Alex, again, because her podcast is Call Her Daddy. And I do see a lot of similarities, you know, just in the way that Alex Cooper talks about the way that her mind works and the way that my mind works. And she talked about her growth in that podcast and talked about how she really kind of found herself. And I was thinking about that when it comes to me, because when I first started doing talk radio, I was trying to be Colin Cowherd. Then a lot of it, I was trying to be Mike Felger in Boston. And I've realized that it's kind of like the NBA, where Tyrese Halliburton won't tell you exactly who it is that he grew up watching or who he grew up emulating in the backyard, but you know he grew up emulating somebody. But eventually your game becomes your game. That becomes the game. And for me, I feel like, and Alex Cooper talked about this, I feel like I'm at a point where I've done this long enough now where I am, you know, kind of my own guy now. And there are little things that I have taken from individuals that I've liked, and I've said, oh, I can put this in my game more. As far as interviews are concerned, and I know I don't do a lot of them with new people, you know, we kind of talk to the same five people, but whenever we have a sit-down interview, I try to be more like Howard Stern. I love the way that Howard Stern just asks whatever, and it's just a steady flow of consciousness. And it's not your cookie cutter. So you're in the, you're doing the new Batman movie. Tell us about that. It's asking the members of the Friends crew who slept with whom. And then making the assumption that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer slept together. That's what Howard Stern does. And I feel like when it comes to sports people, we ask about real things. And not, oh, let's beat around the bush. Let's not ask the real question. Let's ask Rand Carthon about the Kendrick and Drake beef. We don't do that. For instance, Mad Dog, you know, I don't feel like I'm as much Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd is more preachy, more mountaintop, more, let me tell you about Jimmy G's brand. That's not really me. Mad Dog Russo is more just a steady stream of consciousness as he talks about games he's seen. I don't think that's me. But I do think that I've picked up things from Mad Dog Russo. I do think for sure I picked up a lot of things from Colin Cowherd. I picked up a lot of things from a lot of people. I mean, isn't that how you're supposed to get good at something? But when you say, like, hey, you want to be Mad Dog so bad you can just taste it, I would love to have Mad Dog's salary. I would love to have Mad Dog's platform. I'm not going to do things the same way Mad Dog does. I'm not going to talk about tennis. I'm not going to interview guests that wrote an autobiography on Dwight Eisenhower. I'm just not going to do it. He does it. It works for him. He's great. And then the second part, that you can taste it. I mean, I can't taste it right now being Mad Dog. I'm happy with the job I have. Let me be totally clear about that. But I can't taste getting to the top right now. I'd love it if I could taste it. I can't taste it right now. But thank you for, I guess, what is a compliment. I don't know. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on the receiver, Jonnu Smith front, so we'll hit your phones next. Plus, Pat Kerwin, I got to love his full breakdown of the receivers. There was another thing he said about the veterans they've added. There's a name Pat Kerwin has not highlighted that you people absolutely love. We'll hit on that coming up. 615-737-1025 here on our program. This week's Nationals best deal is Body Rock. Boy, I tell you, there's a Body Rock on every corner. And I'll say this, the women of Instagram love Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired class. Designed to rock your body to the core, get half off a $50 gift card now at thegamenational.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's four Nashville locations while supplies are. Only four locations? I figured there must have been 25. But again, everybody's going to Body Rock, so hit up one of their four locations while supplies last.
This is classic front office versus coaches. Like Van Jefferson and Lockett, I'm a big fan of Lockett's, but his best days are behind him. I get that. But they're going to look great in camp because they're savvy veterans. They've been around. They know what they're doing. How is Iomara going to get on the field? You can love him all you want. He's a fourth-round pick, and Jefferson and Lockett are going to be, in my mind, out there for one specific reason, is that they're going to help a young quarterback. And who wants to put rookie receivers out with rookie quarterbacks? You know, the quarterback needs some help and guidance, which Lockett and Jefferson will give him. So it gets a little, I mean, an injury puts him on the field. I get that. But Cam Ward's going to need those older veterans telling him, no. They're going to roll to cover three here. That don't worry about that pre-snap read. They're not going to stay in it. They've been stemming all day. All that stuff helps.
There you go. That was Pat Kerwin, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Again, he's saying, like, this receiver room. But he's like, they need to play the veteran receivers for the young quarterback. And again, when he went over the list of receivers they had and the guys that aren't, he said, okay, there's Jefferson, there's Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, the two rookies, Burks, and he did not mention Xavier Restrepo. And again, he's sitting here saying, like, you need to put the veteran receivers on the field for the young quarterback. You need to go get Jonnu Smith for the young quarterback, not, but Xavier Restrepo and Cam played together in college. And so, again, let's take a macro view of the Titans and not get excited about what Twitter thinks. By the way, I'm still trying to figure out, for the You People crowd, we played the cut from Pat Kerwin, and I said, hey, he says the receivers stink. Well, we know the tight ends stink. We know the running game can't carry the team. I think a lot of us think there's a pretty good chance the coach stinks. And the defense, I mean, between the Simmons drama and Legarius needs knees and the bull crap that comes out of Denard Wilson's mouth, somebody explain to me how I'm supposed to be positive about this team. One texter says, the craziest thing about the whole Jonnu Smith take is that we literally drafted and had Jonnu Smith. Another texter says, how ironic would it be if the Titans got Jonnu Smith back? They should have never let him go. So you have to understand something. When Jonnu Smith hit the market as a free agent, the New England Patriots paid him $50 million guaranteed. That was 4 years ago. Now, would anybody pay Jonnu Smith $50 million? No. But Jonnu Smith's making four, and he had 80 catches last year and eight touchdowns. None of us, including me and everybody else, I don't think any of us thought that Jonnu Smith stunk when he was on the Titans. Jonnu Smith is a legitimate tight end. And Jonnu didn't do well in New England, but that's because Belichick had a defensive coordinator calling the plays and had lost his mind with his girlfriend. Jonnu is not bad. He's not great. He's not Kittle. He's not Kelsey. He's not LaPorta. He's not Mark Andrews in his prime. He's not Gronk. But Jonnu has always been solid. And again, that's better than what you have now. Chig, who stinks, Wiley, who's always hurt, and Gunnar Helm, who knows. But the idea that, well, they already had Jonnu, yeah, and it's better than what you got now. And Jonnu is available. One texter says, why do you bring up the Giants to bolster your argument when you've said before that they are a joke and their management sucks? Another texter says, so what is your explanation as to why the Titans should have a top 10 payroll when the Giants have a top 10 payroll? The Giants are a dysfunctional team, just like the Titans, and I don't think we should be following the Giants' lead. Here's my thing about the money. Again, my thing is when you say, well, we shouldn't pay to have a team because we're not any good, just know that paying $30 million extra dollars, getting Jalen Ramsey, getting Jonnu Smith, that would put you behind the Giants. That's all I'm saying. The second thing is, when it comes to spending money, both the problem with the Titans and the Giants is not exactly, well, the Titans need to spend more money. They've been fourth in the division the last 5 years. But it's more so this idea that, hey, how are you spending the money? And the Giants decided they didn't need Saquon Barkley. And you decided you didn't need Derrick Henry. You decided you didn't need Danico Autry. But you were going to take Legarius Sneed's knees. Ugh. I'm just saying, spend some money around here. It's not the end of the world. WB in Thompson Station says, your proposal, and again, I threw a couple out there, swap, you know, you send a fifth, they send a sixth, that kind of thing, and you get Jonnu Smith and you get Jalen Ramsey. WB says that might actually be a decent proposal. Now that the Titans have a general manager, he'll think outside the box and try to do these things, but at the end of the day, Amy is still there. Again, no matter who the general manager is, if you're not going to spend, you're not going to spend. And you get in life what you pay for. I have learned this the hard way so many times. Every now and then, I'll score some kind of insane deal, and it'll be the greatest thing that ever happened to me, but that's really few and far between. The truth is, when you don't spend, traditionally, you get what you pay for. And so you drafted Cam Ward. Great. But if you don't spend, you're not going to put a team around him for him to be able to succeed. And I know a lot of you guys think with Cam Ward, he's like the politician who wants you to believe that he was born into a log cabin that he built himself. But it's just not true. And when it comes to the NFL, most of these quarterbacks, I believe, fail because those teams fail them, not the other way around. One texter says, I am way more pessimistic than you, Jared. Way more. My prediction is a winless season for the Titans with the worst defense in Titans history and Jeffrey Simmons traded midseason. Whoa! That would be wild. If it's the worst, if it's a winless season. I don't think they're going to have a winless season. I thought if there was ever a team to have a winless season, though, it would have been last year's team. I mean, think about this. You beat the Dolphins when they had a third-string quarterback in there who couldn't get a first down. So, and Levis got hurt. Levis threw an interception that landed in between some guy's butt cheeks for the Dolphins, and he got hurt, and Rudolph came in, and they won that game. And then they won the Patriot game, that Drake May miracle at the end, and then Drake May threw two interceptions, and he fumbled the ball on an Arden Key sack. That Patriot team was so wretched. If they weren't that bad, you probably would have lost that. And then you won the game at Houston last year when it was a fracata crazy. They got up to a big lead. You punched back. They missed a 28-yard field goal. I mean, you really weren't that far away from a winless season last year. If there ever was a year for a winless season, it would have been last year. And I do think the coaching is certainly a part of that. One texter says, how did you get from Denard Wilson should be the head coach to Denard Wilson says the stupidest things? Well, I watched Denard Wilson. Again, I didn't say Denard should be the head coach, but he sounded when he took the job and he didn't have a track record to laugh at. He sounded like somebody who was serious and meant business, a very motivational head coach. Now that I've seen him kiss the rear end of every freaking player they have, Arden Key, you know, once we start heating up, he'll heat up. And then Karski asks, isn't Arden Key supposed to be one of the guys that in order for you to heat up has to heat up? Making every excuse in the book for Simmons, every excuse for when Sneedy's doing great, according to Denard Wilson. Denard Wilson says the stupidest stuff. I will tell you, I think he is a terrible coach. I think he is awful. I mean, I think Callahan's got his warts too, and I think Wilson's being on the staff still is an example of that. But I think Denard Wilson is so full of crap. I told you guys that I had a college coach. Reed, have I told you? I had a college coach tell me who was studying the Ravens-style defenses. So he studied Miami, where Anthony Weaver's the defensive coordinator, came from the Ravens. He studied the Ravens. He studied the Seahawks, where Mike McDonald is the head coach, was the Ravens defensive coordinator, and he studied the Titans. And the college coach said to me, he goes, I mean, from an X's and O's standpoint, they don't look anything like the Ravens. And I'm like, but what happened to, we want to be the Ravens? Well, you hired the guy that the Eagles didn't want, the guy the Ravens didn't want. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I heard some crazy stuff from somebody that you're going to get to know. And one thing in particular that, quite frankly, I don't know how to feel when it comes to this quote. And we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Are you confident in the direction the team's taken is in with Chris and with the coach? What's your comfort level with where this team is and where it's going?
Mike, we are very confident. Having said that, I think, you know, as my dad said before he passed, you know, Chris and Shane know that they have things they need to fix. And, you know, we talked about not micromanaging people, but also we have a standard here and it hasn't been good enough. And, you know, winning is great, but I would even take it a step further in saying, you know, we're really committed to being the best. And if we're the best, we will win games. And I think Chris and Shane are totally capable of doing that, and we're confident that they can.
So it's not a playoffs or else, it's just reinforce everything that's in place. I mean, it's hard to put an objective.
Do you have a crystal ball with you? Because of course, you know, things happen, and some of it is there's so we all have to look at all these factors. I mean, if we had all these, you know, injuries, you know, decimate our team. I mean, knock on wood on that. But I'm just saying there are so many different directions. That's part of why it's so fun and scary to work in sports sometimes.
There you go. That is Carly Ursay Gordon. So the NFL has approved the transition from Jim Ursay to the three Ursay daughters, and they're going to manage it amongst the three of them. Remember what they said the Titans couldn't do years ago? Apparently, the NFL's cool with it with the Colts. And with Ursay Gordon. And you heard right there, you know, her talking about Chris and Shane and not micromanaging. And I did listen to her introductory press conference, and it kind of gave off some Cameron Diaz and Any Given Sunday vibes. But there's one thing I was not aware of. Now, a buddy of mine used to do radio in Indianapolis, and he texted me, and he said, this is going to be a disaster with the Ursay daughters taking over. I don't know them. I don't know anything. I don't know. Is it worse than what you've got? But apparently the big deal with Carly Ursay Gordon is that during games, she stands behind the coach and wears a headset. So she's listening to the coach communications with a headset on. You know, when they get Rondell in the game, get him in there. Coach Bobby Joe, get him in there right now. Let's go. You know, Bobby Joe, come on. You know, that's so she's listening to all of that. And she was asked about the headset on game days. Here's what she said.
Carly, we've seen you with the headset on the sidelines, and I'm just curious your biggest takeaway from doing that, your intimate involvement with practices and games, and kind of what you've gleaned from that experience.
I was waiting for someone to ask that question. No, I'm just joking. So it was, I think, honestly, like everyone knew my dad was a little bit, as Keelan said, good weird, or we're all kind of weirdos.
Well, it's from the service.
From the service for those that were there. But I think one of the things that I learned in going through, even as back as when we hired Chuck Pagano, is that sort of accelerated my, I need to learn more about this. I need to be able to say, is this person full of BS? Do they even know what they're talking about? And I think one of the things that being on the headset has really helped me learn is, to the question earlier, it's such a complex organism, a football team, and how it operates. And on game day, and you could say, oh, that person ran that route wrong. When you learn to find, oh, someone tagged the wrong wide receiver, and it wasn't really the player's fault, it was the person that called it. So, and it's never, I think that's been a very valuable, because it also helps us be able to know where do we need to make tweaks, what resources do we need, what do we need to fix. So much of it comes down to just how we operate and how things work. And the headsets are really, I would suggest it for anyone else that has to pay coaches and GMs millions and millions of dollars. It helps you make a less expensive mistake potentially.
Okay, so that was her explanation on wearing the headset. Let me say this. I'm torn about how I feel about the future of the Colts and about really the whole daughter wearing the headset thing. I mean, now she's the owner. So I don't know if she's going to wear the headset on game day or not. But I'm kind of torn. You know, on the surface, and I think most of you are probably like, the owner wearing the headset. I mean, come on. Gotta wear a headset during the game, especially because she's a woman and a lot of you guys are sexist anyways. But I can just see people going, wearing a headset, even though I think there is a headset in the back of Jerry's box that if Jerry wants to get on and go, I don't want you to give the ball to Zeke anymore. I want you to give the ball to Tony Pollard. That I think Jerry can probably get through to the coach. That said, she does make a very good claim, which is when something goes wrong, it's easy for people that like me that don't know anything and don't have any inside information or anything like that to watch a game on Sunday and go, you freaking moron. And then, you know, because like TD, like when somebody screws up, TD will talk to the player about screwing up. And most of the time, the player will say that it's not his fault. You know, for instance, there was a Sunday night game against Kansas City where Rashad Weaver didn't contain Patrick Mahomes and it cost him the game. And TD talked to Rashad Weaver and Rashad Weaver explained it wasn't his fault. Now, was it actually not his fault? I have no idea. But he said it wasn't his fault. And maybe it wasn't his fault. Who knows? But to her point, if you're on the headset, you're listening to the coaches, you're hearing what's going on as the game's, that does in theory give you a better opportunity to actually know what's going on. And one of the biggest knocks with Amy when it comes to people inside the building, one of the knocks that I've heard is Amy's not around very often, which means Amy doesn't know what's going on. So Amy doesn't know who's doing what. Amy doesn't know who's good at their job. So Amy has to rely on somebody like a Chad Brinker, like a Burke Nihil, like a Rand Carthon. She has to rely on them to funnel the information back to her. Well, I mean, I don't think that's good. So when it comes to Carly Ursay Gordon wearing the headset, I mean, on one hand, yeah, I think it's funny and it's like, really, you kooks. Just like how Jim Irsay used to be the general manager when he was like 32 years old. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, it does make sense to know what's going on. Like, it does make sense. And I thought she explained it perfectly. I mean, you may disagree with her logic about wearing the headset or not. And again, who cares? It's Indianapolis. But, you know, we keep an eye on them. But it does kind of make sense. Instead of saying, Rand Carthon, tell me what's going on with my team. It's like, no, I'm on the headset. I'm listening to what they're saying. I'm watching them work. Which is usually what we want most managers to do. One texter says, ironic she used the phrase BS because that was such a BS explanation. Reed, I'm sorry. Did you think that was a BS explanation? I thought she explained it perfectly.
No, the explanation makes perfect sense. This is going to be an unmitigated disaster, and I can't wait to watch it all just burn to the ground in Indy.
But she's already been wearing the headset.
Yeah, but she hasn't been making decisions. You think these three women are going to get together and make a decision? Come on now.
Yes.
You're sitting over trying to be the feminist and trying not to offend
not.
Women out. Yes, you are.
No.
Because you were like, some of you guys are going to be sexist and you're not going to like it just because she's a woman.
A woman wearing a headset. Ho, ho, ho.
There is no way this is going to work. There's no way this is going to work. They're not going to agree on anything. They can't even agree on where to go eat for lunch. They're not going to agree on football matters.
I will tell you, I listened to the press conference. I think the three of them, I think they know what they're, like, I would say, oh, I think they know what they're doing. I listened to the press conference. I think they know their lanes. And I think Carly Ursay Gordon is going to be the leader. And I think that's already been determined. And I think the reason the NFL signed off on it is because Carly Ursay Gordon's in charge.
It's going to be a disaster, and I can't wait.
Again, they're better than you right now with her wearing the headset and with Jim Ursay, rest his soul. He was good for the
game.
They
haven't made a single decision yet. And you think they're better than any other organization in the AFC South?
I think they're better than the Titans. I'll put it to you like this. Tony Khan, he has a big say in what goes on in Jacksonville. We've had Tony Khan on the show before. I like Tony Khan. Last time Duke came on the show, it smelled like freaking Mary Jane. It was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever done. And this guy has a big say at Jacksonville. If it's Tony Khan or Carly Ursay Gordon calling the shots, I'll take Carly Ursay Gordon.
Over there trying to get those women listenership up, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that's the demographic we really strive for around here.
That's it.
That being said, maybe I do need to start listening to the Call Her Daddy podcast. Caroline told me, because I told Caroline I was watching the Alex Cooper documentary, and Caroline was like, you would hate Call Her Daddy. I'm like, I know. And then just watching the documentary and seeing what they talk about. And not that I'm like anti-talking about sex. I mean, Joe gets mad at me all the time for all the penis jokes I make on the air. But, like, I don't need to hear about, like, the Gluck Gluck or any of that stuff on the Caller Daddy podcast.
I don't even know. I'm proud to say I don't know who she is or what that podcast is.
I'm a big Alex Cooper fan. I'm just not a Caller Daddy listener or a Caller Daddy fan. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Speaking of women, I have a Jared Stillman sports lecture. We've had a couple of these so far. It's time for number three. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.